Welcome back to the Garden with Joy and Holly radio show. Thank you for hanging out with us today. Hope your day is going well. Ours is not too bad so far. You've got some problems. We've had problems in the past with our crops not being hydrated properly. And we solved that issue using the tree diaper this year.
Yeah, before you want to think about watering, if your plants could talk, they would tell you how maybe at this point that they have a few complaints. And one of them might be about,
if you haven't killed them because you didn't water them.
About not being properly watered, either too much or too little. How do you water properly? What did you learn? Well, you can take the guesswork out of that by using the tree diaper. Tree diaper is a revolutionary watering system that stabilizes soil moisture by taking up excess water and slowly releasing it when the plants need it. The tree diaper is filled with water from your rain or when you water and slowly releases water over 3 weeks. No pipes, hoses, or electricity needed. Whether you're a first-time gardener or advanced, tree diaper will improve the way you water your plants. It's made in the USA. Check out all the sizes they have available at Tree Diaper. That's treediaper.com. Tree Diaper will make your plants happy. treediaper.com.
So as the summer begins to wind down, some of you may be excited about this. Others may be sad, and the rest of you may have no opinion whatsoever. But as gardeners, as outdoors people, we plan for the next season, whatever that may be. So we're going to talk about how we can start preparing now for our spring garden. So there's some things in which we want to start considering in order for preparation for next year. One is, Holly, what did good, what didn't do good, and do we have an explanation of why on both of those questions?
This is a good question, and I think a lot of people learned this summer about the importance of consistent watering.
Uh-huh.
We had a lot of drought in many places throughout the U.S., and I know, like, when we spoke at the state fair, somebody had asked us about our raised beds, and I said, get irrigation. If you're going to invest in the raised beds, also invest in irrigation. Mm-hmm. Because of the fluctuation of moisture, essentially.
And whether you're using tree diaper, water hoop, quick snap, drip works, based on the situation and the manufacturer, there are as sophisticated as no matter where you're at in the world, you can push a little button on your phone and it will turn the water on, or simple as going over and turning the faucet on and then turning it off in 20 minutes, or like the tree diaper, you don't have to really do anything for your plants to get hydrated.
Right. And that's definitely something to keep in mind. I think another thing is soil tests. Now, this wasn't something for us, but I know a lot of people, you know, they're always asking, is a soil test worth it? Should I do this? And I think if you have to ask the question, like, do I need a soil test? The answer is probably yes.
Yeah. You've got a plant that's doing something very abnormal, and it is sometimes because of a lack of nutrients in the soil or an abundance of nutrients, which is causing that plant to grow irregular. A lot of green foliage, not much fruit, potential too much nitrogen. A lot of other things can potentially cause the issues that you are seeing in your garden. Now, Holly, some people, I'm not naming names because I don't know names, but they will continue to practice the same method of gardening year after year, and the same results happen, and those results are not always good, but they continue to do that. What is that called?
Insanity.
There you go.
Yeah.
The definition of insanity is
doing the same thing over and over and expecting different results.
That's also a dating tip there for some of you. Yeah. If the same thing continues to happen, maybe you're the common denominator, not the person that you're trying to date. But that's a side note for a different time, different place.
Right. Right. Exactly.
But so, if you continue to, you know, plant the tomatoes in this method, this procedure, and you still get crummy harvest, you need to figure out, maybe I'm doing something that I shouldn't be doing, and ask questions. And if you don't know the answer to a question, it's not a stupid question to ask.
Right, right. I agree. Especially when it comes to gardening, I mean, we even have issues that we have to sometimes do some research on.
We've reached out to some very large names in the industry and said, hey, here's what's going on. Can you help us? Because we are out of ideals and resources of why this is occurring.
Right. So, so that's something to keep in mind.
And this is part of the rotation of crop problem potentially as well.
Yeah, you want to rotate your crops, especially crops like root. One is root crops, not necessarily like potatoes or carrots or anything like that, but onions, garlic, shallots, anything in that family.
Leeks,
you want to rotate. I don't know why, but you want to rotate. I'm assuming that it must be something that like that maybe they leave something back into the soil or some sort of situation like that. But you want to, yeah, you want to rotate those crops.
Well, in our situation, we have 8, 10, 12 large raised beds. How does one rotate crops if they are dealing with a size such as a 4x4 raised bed or in ground, 4x4, 16 square feet, where space is very, very limited in which you can't move it across the yard. You can only really move it 2 feet to the left.
Right. So that is a good question. If you can't move it far, then you should just move it as you can.
Don't put it in that same
just
spot.
Just don't put it in the same spot. So if you have like, say you have 6 rows that are right next to each other, just move everything over a row and then put that other end row to the front.
You've done the best that you can with with what you have to work with.
And I mean, I grew up with like a 4x4 foot garden. And
I keep hearing about this postage stamp of a backyard, and I've seen one picture of a pumpkin that you sort of carved. It looks like a recycling symbol.
The chasing arrows.
Yeah,
I have another picture of me holding a zucchini.
Yeah, I've seen that, but there's a lot
you
of stories.
Take a tour?
Yeah, I would like to. There's a lot of stories in your family that people don't want to talk about. The rhubarb in the ground, nobody wants to talk about. No. I don't know what happened there. Can't grow rhubarb in the ground because some horrible thing happened 35 years ago. Bringing compost in.
Yeah, that's very smart. And that's another thing is building your soil. So maybe you're like, I'm having these issues and
I've grown in the same spot for 37 years and just threw a handful of fertilizer in at the time of planting every year. What am I doing wrong?
You need your soil, essentially is what it is. That's the life blood of the plants. Just like us, you know, we have to eat things. The plants want to have good soil.
But what kind of compost is best? Should you use your compost or should you invest in purchasing compost, not necessarily in a bag from a big box store, but a formulated mix from your local independent garden center? If you have compost that you've made yourself, and we all can never make enough compost, have you composted it safely or correctly to where it is heated up to the appropriate temperature in order to kill the weed seeds, that you're not broadcasting the seeds back into the garden of weeds and then now you've got a yard instead of a garden?
Well, that's what's important, is you need to know what's in your own compost and if those seeds are going to be alive or dead. So if you want to use some of your own compost, you could, but you could also put it like at the bottom of a raised bed, or even like if you wanted to kind of supplement a flower bed or something at the bottom of that, and then that could be helpful too.
You'd be wise about it if you are not certain that it is 100% seed free. If you get a grow bag from Rootmaker, use coupon code RADIO21, save 10% on your order, and fill the bottom 2 or 4 inches with your compost, and then fill the rest of the 12 inches with store-bought or garden center's compost, and you're using it as fill, basically.
Yeah, you're using it as fill, but at least you're using it for something. If you know that it's going to be hopefully weed seed-free, you have a pretty good shot that you think it would be.
You've turned it. It's got the right temperature. I give you a thumbs up because we are not very on schedule with that in our garden.
We're pretty lazy composters, but at least we do it, right?
Yes.
Can we get some credit for that?
Let's talk about mulch here. Mulch is one of the easiest and should be one of the most utilized materials in your garden. And in the fall, you have ample opportunity to acquire as much mulch as you could possibly care to acquire, meaning leaves and straw. Now, the leaves call, you know, we all know where the leaves come from. And what we have done and continue to do from ground garden transitioning to our raised bed gardens is acquire the leaves on our property as well as in the street and pour over top and hill over top and mountain over top of our raised beds by 2 or 3 foot in the fall. And by spring, that has broke down and, you know, went from 3 foot to about 1 foot. And then that's as the season progresses, it feeds the soil. And by June, you can't tell that we brought, you know, 65, 40 gallon trash can fulls of leaves in because it's all fed back into the soil. Now, we're not mulching at all. We're just dumping the leaves on the raised beds.
Right.
And straw is another avenue in which you can use as a mulch. Now, in the fall, everybody has the hay rides, the fall festival parties, and even after Christmas, a lot of the nativity scenes are constructed with straw bales, and those are tossed to the curb in urban settings, and you can go by and pick those things up and put in your car. They might be a little heavy, but they would work great as a mulch material for your garden.
Yeah, you can pick that up and you can put it in your shed or garage or wherever, and then you can have mulch, or you can mulch it. You can, if it's not sopping wet and you can get it apart, you can mulch right then and there for the, put it down in the fall and then it's ready for the spring.
You know, straw bales are typically, I don't know, between $5 and $8. What we're seeing right now at the stores, if you got a deal with a farmer, that you can probably get a better rate. But in the fall, after the Halloween season, you can take those straw bales, and if you don't want to use them as mulch, you can set them up in your garden and get ready to use them for a straw bale garden in the spring. You don't want to condition them right now, but you can set them at where they're going to be next spring, so you're ready to go. All you have to do is get Bale Buster from Learn to Grow a Straw Bale Garden and condition it, and away you go. You're already 2 steps ahead of everybody else.
Right. So then you also can organize your tools.
Oh, but I just dig them out when I need them.
Yeah, that's fun.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
And that's our method, and it's not fun.
Oh, I didn't know we ever had this tool.
Yeah.
Where did that tool go from?
Yeah. So you can go through your tools, you can clean them off, you can put some oil on them to get them ready for next year.
Like an olive oil or a kitchen
oil.
You don't
use like a cooking oil.
Some people will use like a motor oil, a petroleum product, but you know, if you're really a true organic gardener, you would be putting a petroleum product on your shovel and then putting the shovel in the soil.
No, you can use an olive oil, cooking oil.
And some people, it's whatever it is. So I'm just saying some people are very concerned about what they do in that situation. Other people, it's just protecting the metal from rust. And then we have to look at our raised beds, if we're building raised beds, and what maintenance may be needed for them.
Yeah, you can look at, you know, are these boards splitting? Does something need support? Did something shift? Like, we made a raised bed out of a door we found in the attic.
Yep.
And a lot of that was, like, basically pressure fit. And I noticed
it's hardwood. It's not like particle board.
Right. It's hard. Right. It's like an authentic wood door.
Probably worth a lot of money. We cut up. Probably cringed when they saw
it. It could be, like, over 100 years old.
Yeah, if you want to see that video, you go to our parent website, thewisconsinvegetablegardener.com, and in the search bar, you put in raised bed made out of a door, I think is the best way to search for it.
That sounds right.
Yes. And
so, yeah, that's an option. But that has kind of fallen apart a little bit.
It worked for one season.
Yeah, but if you wanted to maintain the structure of that, we could probably just kind of piece it together somehow. But it is an option. So if you have regular raised beds, maybe you need to replace a board. Maybe you need to, I don't know, put some more nails in, or maybe you need to replace a portion of the board.
Top off the beds.
Yeah, yeah. You might want to top off the beds in the spring, but
if you put the leaves on top of the beds now, you can top them off and then put the leaves, and then you're already ready to plant in the spring. Well, speaking of preparation for the spring, summer is nearly over, Holly, and the kids are back in school, and the nighttime temperatures in some places are getting cooler, and for the rest of us, that time will come. And many of us have forgotten about our yard.
Yeah, just because it's fall, we don't want to forget about our yards and those evil Japanese beetles. They may be gone, but they're not far. Not only did they feast on your roses and berries this summer, they laid eggs in your turf so that they can start again next year. You want to take a stand with phylums Grub Gone is a non-chemical BT product that targets scarab pests and their larvae. Simply apply the granule with a spreader, irrigate it into the soil, and then let the naturally occurring bacteria do its job.
Not only is Grub Gone easy to use, but it is the only non-chemical choice that effectively controls those grubs in your yard. And the best part about it, it's non-toxic to bees, butterflies, and other beneficial insects. In fact, Grub Gone has zero label restrictions when it comes to being used around flowers. So get your hands on some Grub Gone from phylumbioproducts.com, the natural choice. That's phylum bioproducts.com.
For more information, please visit thewisconsinvegetablegardener.com.